Very good. Turn, if you would, tonight to 1 Thessalonians, not Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And as you're finding your place, I'm just going to introduce my friend to you all so that I only have to do it once, because as soon as he pulled in, I had two people look at me and they said, "Who is that?" And so I'm just going to share with you real quick who he is. This is Pastor Brent Lovelace. He pastors North Valley Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona. And he and I first met about almost 18 years ago, really. You all know that I was an intern at Eastland, and that was a two-year position for me. I followed up a man by the name of Steve Marcarell, and Steve Marcarell followed up Brother Brent and his wife, Heather. Were your kids born at the time at Eastland? Okay. And anyway, so Brother Brent and Heather from Tulsa, they went out and started a church in Coweta, Oklahoma, which is a neighborhood community, really, of Tulsa. And he was there for several years. And then it was, what, 13, 14 years ago? 11. Okay, I thought it was longer than that. But anyways, 11 years ago that the Lord moved his family out to Phoenix. So that's where he and his family have been the last 11 years. And I've enjoyed his friendship. Sometimes I call him instead of going to fellowship meetings, because he and I can get on the phone and we can talk for about an hour. It's a whole lot cheaper. It's a whole lot faster. And sometimes it's a whole lot more profitable. I don't know what that says about him or the fellowship meetings, but nonetheless, I do enjoy the fellowship with him, and he's on his way into Springfield, Missouri, so he stopped in tonight, obviously, and is going to spend the night with us and then get on the road tomorrow. So that is who that is. You don't have to be afraid of him. You can now meet him after church if you have not already and know that it's safe. All right? Very good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we will get started. Father, it is good to be in your house tonight, and Lord, we are thankful for the promises of your word. And Lord, we're thankful for the music that we were able to sing tonight and have a little bit of fun, and yet at the same time, just to be reminded of that sweet hour of prayer that we need to be engaging in. And Lord, I pray that we have been men and women of prayer this week already. I pray that if we haven't been, that we would begin even tonight to get that prayer life back in order and for it to be what it's supposed to be. Lord, I pray that you'd bless now the effort to bring your word to your people. I pray that you'd use it just to help us in our thought process and how we should approach the Christian life. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we continued in chapter 6, and we looked at verses 9 through 11, and we watched as Paul spoke of the believers' past and the lifestyles that many of them were saved out of. We know that it was a pretty colorful past. For many of them, he spoke of how some were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. Some had been effeminate. Some had been abusers of themselves with mankind. Some had been thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners. And as Paul went through this list, he said in verse number 11, "And such were some of you." But he said, "But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified." And he said that that had happened in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so what I tried to show us last week was this, is that all the things that he mentioned of the Corinthian believers and what they had been saved out of, as he gave that sample of what they had been saved out of, every bit of that was past tense. And I tried to show us last week that when a person is saved, when a person truly comes into contact with Jesus Christ in genuine salvation, that those things will become a part of our past and it will not remain a current part of our lives. It's not to say that we will be perfect at some point, but it does mean this, that as a result of our walk with God, there should be some deliverance from sin and there should be a transformation in our way of life. And as he was talking about that in verse number 9, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" When a person is not right with God, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, "Be not deceived." So he said, don't allow yourself to be deceived. Don't allow yourself to be fooled. Don't get into this mindset that a person can supposedly be saved, not have any kind of a change in their life, and still be on their way to heaven. That simply makes no sense. And yet we live in a day and we live in a culture, we live in a time, like I said then, I want to say again tonight, we live in a day where people do not expect a changed life because of salvation, and they still want us to believe that they are right with God. We cannot be deceived. A saved individual will have fruit, and part of that fruit will be a changed life. All right? And so that's what we talked about last week. Tonight we're just going to be in verse number 12. Verse number 12, let me just tell you, has a greater context to it in verses 13 through 20. Next week, we will deal with the context and deal with all of this specifically, but in verse number 12, the Apostle Paul is going to be somewhat general in his statements, and so tonight we're going to be somewhat general in our approach to this verse. But before we do, before we get to the verse tonight, I want us to think about something, okay? As we think about this, I want you to know that I'm not trying to be rude, I'm not trying to be harsh, I'm not trying to be abrasive or offensive. If I were to say this in some groups, I probably would be frowned upon, but I'm sure that I am safe with you all. I'm setting you up, okay? So that if you might be sensitive, you shouldn't be sensitive, okay? But there is a principle that I want us to see tonight that it runs in the secular world parallel so many times with the attitude that is seen in the professed world of Christianity. All right, so don't get lost in the illustration, but just understand that there is a principle that I want us to think about this evening. I want us to think about a family that is not too uncommon in our society and in our culture today. The family would look something like this. Because of their financial standing in life, they receive what you and I would refer to as free medical care. Now, we know that there's no such thing as free medical care, but to them, it is perceived as being free because they are not in a position financially where they may be able to afford their own health insurance. And so this family has what they would view to be free health care. They might also be on a program provided by the government where certain foods and certain allowances are given to them on a monthly basis. We used to call it food stamps. You know that there are families like this that exist, right? Amen. Not being critical, I'm not being harsh or judgmental or anything of that nature. But they have free health care, they have food given to them. In addition to that, this family may take advantage of the free breakfast and the free lunch now provided by the schools. The schools provide that because kids are not getting a good breakfast at home. They certainly need to eat lunch there at the school throughout the day. So not only do they have free medical care, they have this food program with their different perks and programs, and then they get a free breakfast, they get a free lunch. And then come income tax time. You hear them talk about their refund. And you can't help but scratch your head and say, how? Because I know you didn't pay in $8,000 last year. I'm not making this up, am I? You've heard people talking about this. You know, I mean, they're talking about, boy, as soon as I get my income tax refund, how much are you getting back? Because I know I'm paying in this year. Oh, no, I'm getting like $8,000 or $9,000 back. And I'm sitting there scratching my head going, wow, that's a lot of money. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them, they wait for the first of the month to get their disability check. Never mind you see them out doing yard work. Never mind you see them out running all over town. Never mind you see them doing what normal, healthy people do. They've got a disability check, and again, not all of them, but some of them might be like this. They've got the free phones that are now provided by the government. And if you think about all these things that are provided by the government, here is what is amazing. None of this is illegal. You following this? Listen, if I'm stepping on toes, I'm not meaning to. Or if I'm stepping on your family's toes, I'm not meaning to. But I'm just saying this is a picture that we see all too often in our culture today. So they've got free health care. They've got free food. They've got free breakfast and lunch for the kids at school. Then they get an income tax refund that is far greater than anything they've contributed or paid in. Then they might be on some kind of a disability. Then they get a free phone. And that does not begin to list all the perks and programs and sources of aid that are available to people these days. And again, every bit of it is legal. Every bit of it is above board. Now, this evening, as I've listed all those things that are legal, I want us to think about two thoughts, all right? The first thought would be this. Such an approach to living on a long-term basis is not beneficial to anyone. There may be a purpose for a season. There may be an appropriate time for this, but to get hooked into this long-term, there is nothing healthy or beneficial or profitable to this, even though it may be legal. And at the same time, I would say this, that when a person gets hooked into this long-term, they eventually, unintentionally, find themselves subjected to the authority of the government in their lives because they are now dependent upon these things for their survival and for their existence. I've got to have the food stamps. I've got to have the free phone. I've got to have the free medical care. I've got to have the free lunch program. I've got to have this. I've got to have this. I've got to have this. And without these things, I'll not be able to exist and will not be able to survive. And again, there may be a season where that is necessary, but for that to be long term, not only is it not helpful or profitable for anyone, it also puts that individual underneath the authority of the government in ways they were never designed to be under the government's authority. Now, there could be some, I don't think in here, but there could be some this evening who may say something like this. Well, Brother Kyle, that's easy for you to say. You're obviously not living in that position. So I just want to say this for anyone who may question where Susie and I came from. I've shared this before. But Susie and I, 13 years ago, she sent me to the store while she was on bed rest for me to get the food that our vouchers provided for us. As I signed my voucher with my ink pen that cost over $200, I said to myself, there is something wrong with this system. That I would qualify for such. And I went home and I told Susie, I said, never again will we accept that kind of aid and that kind of assistance because it is not right. And frankly, I don't want to be dependent upon the government to feed me and the kids. All I'm saying is this. A person does not do themselves a favor by living in that position long term. It helps no one. It causes them to become a servant and under the authority of something else. And it really does take some maturity and some initiative to get past that. Now, why do I say that? Well, this evening I want us to think about the Corinthian believers. The Corinthian believers were not and are not known for their spiritual maturity. Okay, that's not at all what you could accuse them of. You could never accuse them of being spiritually mature. Some of the things that we know they have struggled with to this point in the letter that Paul has written has been their division and their lack of unity in the church because of their divided loyalties to different spiritual leaders. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, and on it could go. We also know this, that in the church, they were more than willing to turn a blind eye to the gross immorality that was present in the church. Not only that, we had in chapter 6 where the people were so selfish that they were willing to take their issues one with another to the courts and to have them settled in the courts. And those are just some of the issues plaguing the church at this time. So again, anyone taking an honest look at that church would say this, there was no real spiritual maturity present. Keeping all that in mind, it is said, I don't know if this would be true, but it has been said by some that there was a motto or a creed for living that said something like this, and thus Paul references it in the text tonight, But essentially, there was a motto amongst the people that said this: all things are lawful. All things are lawful. Now, think about that statement for just a moment. First of all, the word all. You don't really need to consult a dictionary to know what the word all means, correct? It means everything. It means anything. So if that is so, that the people of Corinth and the people of their day lived with this motto or lived with this approach to life, that all things were lawful unto them, then essentially here is what the attitude was: I can do what I want. I am allowed to do what I want. I have the freedom and the liberty to live as I please. Their mindset and their philosophy and their approach to life is said by some to have been this: that I have the freedom and I have the liberty to do what I want to do, live how I want to live, operate however I see fit to operate. Anything that I decide to do, it is lawful, it is legal, it is allowed. And so in verse number 12, as Paul is going to enter into some specific territory, he begins by saying this in verse number 12: all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Now think about this, if you would. The Corinthian believers may have a mindset kind of like this: if I want to have loyalty to a particular spiritual leader, I can do it. I don't care the kind of division that this creates in the church. I want to follow Paul. I want to follow Cephas. I want to follow Apollos. And I want to follow Christ. See, they were of the mindset: I don't care if this creates division. I don't care if this creates a lack of unity in the church. I can do what I want, and I'm going to follow this one no matter what you think. There were those in the church who would have said something like this: I have the right to view that person's immorality any way I want to view that person's immorality. If I want to turn a blind eye to it, I can, and you can't tell me any different. If I want to act like it's no big deal for whatever reason, I can do that, and you can't tell me any different. Someone else may say something like this: I don't care what it does to my testimony. I'm suing the guy because I'm not going to be wronged in this situation. Do you understand how the mindset would have worked at this time? You cannot tell me what to do because all things are lawful. Now, here's what Paul said: it may be lawful, but it does not mean that it's expedient. What does it mean for something to be expedient? It means this: to be helpful or profitable. Go back to the illustration for just a moment that I opened with. The person who is taking advantage of this, and this by what the government provides, friend, it may have been lawful, and it may be lawful, but it doesn't mean that that's the best thing for the person. Now, here's what the Apostle Paul was saying to them: listen, you may be afforded the opportunity to sue someone, and you may be afforded the opportunity to have this division in the church, and you may be afforded the opportunity to overlook the immorality in the church, and there may be people who help you in the justification process of this, but Paul wanted them to know this, that just because this is available to you does not mean that this is profitable or helpful for you in the midst of this situation. You've got to think about this, Corinthian believers, long term. That none of this, by way of your approach to life, is going to be helpful to you or anyone else. See, the believers there in Corinth, they needed to think about a bigger picture. They needed to think about a bigger approach to the way they were living their lives, and they needed to think about the testimony of the church. They needed to think about their own personal testimony. They really needed to think about what this might be doing to their own family and the effects that it could be having on their own family and the spiritual direction of the family. But again, here's what Paul said: you may be able to do this, and I may be able to do it, but just because it is legal and just because it is lawful and just because it is available does not mean it is helpful. You've got to understand that there is a difference between that which is legal and that which is sometimes harmful. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's good. Just because it's lawful doesn't mean it's profitable. So even in the spiritual life, Paul says, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. He goes on to say in verse number 12, all things are lawful to me or for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What is Paul saying? I will not be brought under the power of any. Well, to be brought under the power of someone means this, to be brought under the authority of something. Something now controls that individual. This is very important that we see this, okay? You want to boldly proclaim, believers in Corinth, I have the freedom, I have the right, it is within my rights as an individual to do these things. That may be so, Paul said. But not only does it not mean that that is good and profitable just because it is lawful, it also implies this, that if you continue with that mentality, if you continue with that attitude, if you continue down that road long term, here is what will happen. You will find yourself controlled by the very thing that you are fighting for, and you will find yourself controlled by the thing that you are trying to justify. You're going to stay at it with this attitude so long that what will happen is this. That attitude and that spirit of liberty and freedom and what is lawful and no one can tell me what to do and no one can tell me how to live, that attitude will one day have authority over you. And Paul said again in verse number 12, all things are lawful for me. But essentially, I refuse to let those things that I am capable of doing, I refuse to let those things govern me and rule over me and have authority in my life. Here are believers in Corinth, extremely immature. Their walk with God is not at all what it's supposed to be. And yet, in the midst of all this, they want to throw their shoulders back and say with a sense of arrogance, I can do whatever I want. And Paul says, we can do what we want. But just because we have the freedom to do what we want does not mean it's good and does not mean it's profitable. And if you keep that attitude up and if you keep going down that road, here is what it will do, though unintentional. It will put you under the authority of that lifestyle that you are forcing a justification to. I can see we are riveted by this truth. So let me explain just a little bit the parallels and the correlations that we are seeing today. How many of us have ever heard someone say something like this? I can do what I want to do. We've all heard people say things like that. And sometimes as a pastor, you may hear it a little bit more frequently. But you hear people say things like this. I can go here if I want to go here. You're right, you can. I can do this if that's what I want to do. You're right, you can. My family can do this and my family can do that. You're right, your family can do that and your family can do this. They say things like this. We don't have to do that, preacher. You're right. You don't have to. They say things like this. We just have an agreement in our house. You know, we do things a little bit different. I understand, but we have an agreement in our house, and you know, me and my husband or me and my wife, we're good with that. And it may not be what the Bible says, but we're okay with this, and we're good with how it's working out for us, and we can do whatever we want. And essentially, you know what so many people are saying in our culture today? They are saying this, though not these exact words: all things are lawful unto us. So if I want to do this, or if we're going to do this, or if we want to live this way, or if we want to approach life with this mentality, this philosophy, this attitude, whatever it is, I can or we can do it, and you can't say anything about it. Now, there are times, and we know this, that issues are black and white, and we can say, yes, I can say something. But sometimes the issues are not as black and white as we would like them to be. And so if we do say something, you know what we're labeled as? We're labeled as judgmental or legalistic people. Okay, and certain accusations are brought against us that the people don't even begin to understand who are accusing us. But nonetheless, here's what they like to do. They like to flaunt and say with this sense of boldness, I can do what I want to do, and we can live how we want to live. Now, if we'll follow this thought all the way through, here's what we have to say. We have to say, yes, you're right, you can do that. But when you do this long term, you need to understand something. That is not helpful. And that is not profitable. We would probably not express it like this, but we would say it, this idea in mind. You're right, you have the freedom, but it's not expedient. Just because you can does not mean that long term this will be good and profitable for you. See, so many people in our society today, they're not thinking long term. They're not thinking about the effects of this and what it will do to them or to their families or to their testimony or to their church or whatever is special to them. They're not thinking about what it will do to them if they get locked into this and hooked into it long term. They're only thinking about the immediate right now. They're only thinking about what it is they want to do or don't want to do in this specific moment. And so somebody says to them, hey, listen, man, I don't know about that. And they say, hey, listen, I can do what I want. Okay, you're right, you can. But I just want you to know, with that attitude and that spirit and that approach to life, it may be legal and it may be lawful, but at some point you're going to regret that, because that is not good for you, period. And at the same time, when people want to talk about their freedom and they want to talk about their liberty and they want to talk about all the rights that they have and the joy that they have in their relationship with the Lord to do whatever they want, this would also be true. You can do it. But if the Lord's not in it, at some point, that very thing that you are fighting to justify will exercise authority over you. It just will. That relationship that you are fighting to justify, that relationship will one day exercise authority over you. That job that you are fighting to justify right now, because all things are lawful, and don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me I can't do that. Okay. I'm just saying, very soon you will find yourself under the authority of that. And the very thing that you're fighting by way of your freedom and your authority and your liberty to be able to engage in these, you know, these hobbies and these recreations that take you away from the house of God and the things of God. You're right, you can do that, but just understand, at some point, those things are going to control you in ways you didn't think you would be controlled. See, here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I will not be brought under the power of any. Just because I can do it, I don't want to do it, because I'm thinking long term that this is going to make me become a servant to the very thing that I'm trying to justify. And Paul said, now why would I want to do that to myself? That would be ridiculous and that would be silly. And so again, if we're following the parallels, if we're following the thought process, we see in the religious culture today the very same attitude that so many people have with the government. Hey, I can do it. You're right, you can, but it doesn't mean it's expedient, and it doesn't mean that it will not exercise authority in your life at some point. Now, this evening, if I just had to guess, here's what I would guess, and here's what I'd suspect and speculate. Every one of us can think of someone right now who has fought for their freedom, and they have fought for their liberty, and sure as we knew it was going to happen, it did happen. They are not happy people, they are miserable people, and they are people who are bound to the very sin that they worked hard to justify in their own life. You know anybody like that? I was going to say, I could name several people just right off the tip of my tongue, people that I thought of in preparing the message, just people that I wanted to say, man, if you had listened 5 years ago, if you had just listened 10 years ago, if you had listened just 15 years ago, your life would be in a whole lot different position right now. But no, you had your rights, and you did, but it didn't serve you too well. Well, I can think of several people. You know what I really need to do tonight? I need to go look in the mirror. You know why? Because I have the same sinful flesh that all those people that I can think of tonight, I have the same sinful flesh that they have. I don't want anybody to miss this point, okay? Because this is so important. You know, because of our sinful flesh, what we struggle with? We struggle with this mentality and we struggle with this attitude that says, I can do that. Now, your sin may not be what the Corinthians dealt with, and your sin may not be what the people you could think of tonight have dealt with, but every one of us, we have sins in our lives where if we're not of the right mindset, if we're not of the right spirit, we express the same thought, hey, listen, that's lawful for me. I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that, whatever it is, we've all got a blank right there that we could put one of the things that we struggle with in our lives. Now, if you don't want to admit that tonight, that's fine, but what that says is a whole lot about us if we don't want to admit that we've got something that we could put in that blank. We've got something, and as I was preparing the message and getting ready for the service tonight, I was much more content to think about other people's things to put in the blank. Oh, yeah, oh, so-and-so, sorry, dog. Oh, so-and-so, man, if they had just gotten that right. And yet it was like the Lord was saying, okay, now let's just look at your life, and let's look at the things that you try to justify. Sure, other people are doing it, and yes, other people seem to be getting away with it, and yes, other people seem to have that liberty, and so Kyle, you can stand and boldly proclaim, I have the freedom, and you do, Kyle. But long term, is that going to be profitable? Will that be helpful? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't always want to answer those questions. I mean, let's not worry about that, Holy Spirit. Let's just have fun right now. No. Don't stand up here and gripe about the people taking all the government assistance. They're not helping themselves. If we're not willing to look at our own spiritual lives and say, now, hold on, I may not be helping myself. I may not be helping my family. I may not be helping my testimony. I may not be helping the church. In fact, I could be hurting everything that I care about because right now I'm so worried about what is lawful for me and what is allowed for me. And then I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but I know for myself there have been times that I have justified certain behaviors so long that I now am under the control of the thing that I used to have to justify. Just chew on that for a minute. I justified it. I justified it. I rationalized it. Hey, I can do this. It's not a problem. It's not a big deal. And now I have been brought under the power of the very thing that I thought I had the power and the control of. Now I'm the servant of it rather than the master of it. Now it's exercising lordship over me rather than me exercising lordship over it. You see how our personal freedom and our personal liberty can get in the way of our spiritual maturity sometimes? See, it takes some maturity. It does. It takes some serious spiritual maturity to say something like this. You know, I could. You know, we could. You know, I don't have to. You know, we don't have to. But I don't want to do anything that would be harmful or damaging to myself, to my family, to my testimony, to my church, whatever it may be. Do we understand what kind of maturity is required to say, I know I could, but it's not worth it? Do we understand tonight the kind of maturity that is required to say, I know I could. I know I don't have to. But I don't want to find myself under the authority of that, and that now be the servant over me, and me be the servant, or the master over me, and me be the servant to that. And I have no idea, truly, I have no idea what you're dealing with or what the person beside you sitting or the person beside you is dealing with. I don't know what we're dealing with tonight. But I bet it's possible that there are some in the room tonight that if we would just be honest, there are certain things that we are holding on to. And though we've not said it this way, what we are basically screaming is this. It is lawful and I can do it and you can't tell me otherwise. I just want to remind us of what the Apostle Paul said to the believers in Corinth. It is lawful, but it is not expedient. It is lawful, but it is not good, and it is not profitable, and it is not helpful. It may be lawful, but I don't want to be brought under the authority of that. And so therefore, I'm not even going to engage in it because I don't want to serve it and for it to be over me. You may have something like that in your life even tonight. And I would just encourage you, ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to give you victory over whatever it is you are fighting so hard tonight to justify. It's needed. It truly is. Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Fathers, I come to you this evening, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to consider these words of the Apostle Paul to the believers in Corinth. God, we need those words. We need the reminder tonight as much as anyone in any setting could need those words and need that reminder. So I pray that you'd help us to be honest. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us to look and to deal with anything that needs to be dealt with tonight. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.